Welcome to the Transformation Podcast. This is a podcast on agile, lean, and digital transformation, hosted by your host, Vert Jacobsen Kramer. Enjoy this series, and should you want to give us a feedback, please do so on our website or by email. We look forward to hear from you. Enjoy. Hello, everyone, dear viewers. Good to have you back with an episode about digitalization with Uwe Weinreich and Vert Jacobsen Kramer. Maybe you have asked yourself already, what is a digitalization for you? What does it mean for you? And Uwe, I have you here with me because you say that most entrepreneurs, most business owners have not yet really grasped the full scope of digitization. And that's why we want to meet. And I'm very interested in your view. It's nice to have you on.
Thank you, Vert. Thanks very much for your invitation. I'm glad to be here tonight and discuss this topic. Yes. Okay.
So for the viewers that don't know you yet, Uwe, you are a business entrepreneur from the first hour, basically, of the internet business. You started your first business in 96 and brought to life a couple of businesses. You are now working as a business consultant, and you are an author of two books. The one book is called Lean Digitization, and another book is, in English would be called Enthusiasm About, and it's a book about innovation processes. So, let's start right in. You say many entrepreneurs have not really fully understood the scope of digitization. Why do you say that?
That might sound a little bit provocative, indeed. I know that. But, I truly believe that no one has really understood what digitization will mean in 10 or 20 years, because we're all at the point, at the start of this development. And we have to take into account that there are at least two dimensions that we have to mention. And I think we can master one of the dimensions very well at the moment, and the other one is far more complicated and difficult to manage, really, because nobody knows how it will evolve over the time. So if we look back simply 100,000 years ago, men started to produce and to use a kind of tools. And these tools were perfectionized over time. So we had machinery someday, and nowadays every one of us has a kind of pocket computer in his pocket that can perform tasks that were unbelievable only a few decades ago. So these tools are really, really well developed over time, and they changed the world very much. And I think as far as we talk about computerization or digitalization on this level, on the tool level, we are quite well advanced at the moment. And that is no wonder, because it started already in the 1930s. And this is not exactly, but merely 90 years that we have experience with computerization. And so we have some experience that we can build on. But there's something else that happened over time, because by using computers and by using digital means, and especially the internet starting in the 1990s, we created something really new. We created a kind of new sphere, this cyber sphere, where intelligent systems, where lots of data and services surround us all the day, all the time, and they help us and support us wherever we can. And companies can take advantage of these services, and companies can create new services and create new structures that pay to this new layer of reality, which I love to call the cybersphere, which is really a new reality, and we have to keep that in mind. And because it's not a kind of matter that we have here, and we're all used over thousands of years to matter, it's so difficult to deal with it. So we are all still in a learning mode because we are all still creating this new sphere that is surrounding us all the day. And so if we think about the tool side of digitalization, I think we are pretty far advanced at the moment. This will go on and on and on, and tools will be perfectionized over time. But on the other hand, looking at this new layer where a digital world is actually at the moment created, we are still creating it, and we are still in a way of finding out and seeing which new business models can be realized really detached from matter.
Okay.
And this is something that is really a challenge and an opportunity for every, really for every company in the world. And I think everybody will have to succeed in a way over the next years to play a role in this new world or part of the world. Mm-hmm. And if you don't, you might be in trouble, really.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's really fascinating, Uwe, your point of view. And especially when you talk about the cybersphere, it rings a bell to me in terms of the networked economy we're moving into, in terms of distributed ledger technology that is becoming more and more popular, where you can already see and foresee that you have intelligent contracts in the cybersphere between machines, and that you have networks of players instead of those solid rock top to bottom hierarchy enterprises like we used to have in the past, but more like networks that are doing business between each other. And so this idea of central control is becoming less and less relevant, isn't it?
Indeed. These are good examples, really. And they are not going to be the last ones, because things are going on and on and on. And I think in a few years, we will see things we can't even think about at the moment. So these are some examples, and there will be a lot more things that will be created during the next years. And where you're absolutely right is that economy is going to change to a connected economy. And it's more or less a competition of ecosystems over the time that will be really a strong matter of things. And well, if you just try to be the one controlling company at the moment, you have to be huge to control an ecosystem. And there are always small, little, agile networks of companies that might attack you and that might even succeed in attacking you. So you really have to be aware of what's going on, and to monitor and to manage your network or your ecosystem actively. And this is something actually that even small and medium-sized companies can do. And they can create ecosystems that outcompete really big companies if they are doing it in a smart way, I believe.
And talking about this, I mean, right now we're looking at two big platforms, basically, or ecosystem. One is the United States, the Western Hemisphere, and the other one is the Chinese world, with a lot of powerful eco platforms there, building an ecosystem. And what's the situation in Europe, and how does this relate to small and medium-sized companies?
Okay, we're pretty strong at the moment by creating digital solutions on a tool basis. So everything regarding automation of production system and things like that, this is something where we are really strong and far developed, I think, and we are really good, well positioned in the competition. But on the other hand, regarding the new layer of reality, looking at businesses that are detached from matter, only based on transactions and creating value by transactions without huge investments into assets, I think there's something really missing at the moment. And this is something We're always trying to push companies and as well politicians to say, okay, this is something which is going to create the world of the future. And I would like to be a part of it. And I'm German, so I would like to see Germany in a better position here, or Europe in a better position here. And I think, I definitely believe that we're missing out a lot of things. And it's up to us now to create digital business models far more than we do so far. And some companies have really started to do that, but still too little, and still with too little money, I would say. Yes. Mm.
So what you're saying is there's still a big opportunity out there to understand digitization and the cybersphere future that we're looking into as a big opportunity for exactly small and middle-sized companies to create a common platform and a network of companies to compete in this market. And what I really like as a term is a word I use a lot is co-creation. So that really needs a mindset which is has a mentality of co-creating new business models with partners, new enterprises, maybe former competitors to stay in this market in the cybersphere.
Indeed, yeah. Besides that, you can combine a lot of power and different budgets to really powerful enterprise there. So if you go that way, then you can partner with a lot of people. And I think, competitors or suppliers or business partners are not the only ones. If you look at young startups around you or in your business and see what they are doing, why not partner up with them? Why not trying to support them that they support you? Well, this can be challenging, really, because they have already applied a different culture, a different way of working together. And that is always challenging for established companies. But it's always worth it because you can learn so much. And it's an easy way to really deploy modern technology into your services. And this is something that I really would support anytime, because there are so many smart young people trying to start a business, and they can really, I think it's really, really, really something that can help them if you open your market and your knowledge to them, where they can learn from what you know and you can learn from what they can do. And if you do that, I think this is really a step ahead, okay. An easy step and not an inexpensive step, and something that can really take you to the future.
Mm-hmm. Now, when we talk about new business model generation, let's talk a little bit about business model portfolio. So any company has a business model and maybe even a portfolio of different businesses. And now we move into the digital world. And what does this mean for your business model portfolio as an entrepreneur, as a company?
The lifetime of business models will speed up a lot. When we look at platforms, one of the major business models during the last years, they have transformed so much over the time. So if you just stick to one business model, you will be lost, especially in the digital layer. If you are clever enough and generate lots of ideas, then some of these ideas might not apply today because maybe they are too expensive now, maybe customers don't need it now, maybe there are other reasons why you can't do it now because you don't have the manpower or something like that, but still it might be a good idea. So if you don't just put it aside, but if you manage these ideas really actively, then you will have a kind of portfolio in the end where well-designed business models are just waiting for the right time when to come to life. And when there's the situation when you can activate a business model, then a lot of work is already done. You just need to pull this business model, give it to some clever people and say, hey, make this a business for us. And then you're well prepared and you're one of the first to compete in this new field. And this is something that makes you really, really stable and maybe a little bit, like Alex Osterwalder called it, invincible over time. Mm. Because you always have a business model that is working. Because nowadays, some business models work for a time and then they decline. And if you have the next business model already coming up at this time and it declines and you have the next one, then you have a fair line where you always have income and you always have a working business model. And this is something that makes the business model portfolio idea that strong.
Mm. And I think one of the big changes that we see now is that whereas in the past we were looking at products and product life cycles, now we are more looking into business model life cycles. Indeed. And that is, of course, a big challenge for a lot of entrepreneurs to think this way. And on the other side, what you're saying is very convincing is, of course, when you have business models shelf ready, basically, to pull, that's the ideal scenario. So how to get there is to set up an incubator, set up an internal innovation team that will focus on lean startup methodologies, or how can I imagine that one?
Yeah. There's several ways and lots of names for it. What you need is a bunch of people, a team of people who are really clever, who know about digitization, who know about agile methodology and can apply it to different ideas. And what they have to do, no matter how you call it, no matter how you call this division, what they have to do is almost the same thing. They have to monitor what is going on in this new layer sphere where we see the things going on and we have to react to many developments that are coming up the next years. Mm-hmm. And they have to transform it into ideas. How can we react to it? Can we come up with a new business model? Do we have to change our products or services? Can we maybe get in touch with a new customer segment and offer it to them? And they have to have a look at how do we have to develop the tools inside our company so that we can manage all this? And developing these tools also means to apply and to deploy a modern digital technology. And so they are an intermediate between the inside and the outside. And because this causes a lot of buzz, I think, in any company, because, you know, the role of leaders will change, how people work will change, department or team borders will change, or you will have to work cross-functional and things like that. Not everybody likes it, so you need a certain strength to bring that to life. And to do that, you need a really strong support. And therefore, it is really a good idea to hang this department really on the board itself. So it needs somebody that supports them really in tough situations as well. And it's not enough to have it somewhere down the hierarchy. It has to be somewhere in the top of the hierarchy, and then it can be useful and succeed with its tasks. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So let's give it a name. We would call this like the transformation office or the digital transformation office. Some call it the digital office. But anyways, like, you know, it's a team directly reporting to the board the CEO. And the task of this team is to make the change happen. It will consist of powerful change agents, maybe internal but also external staffed, and they will create and push forward the digital transformation of a company.
Indeed, yes. And sooner or later, I think this is an interim organization anyway, sooner or later, this will be the core business of the board itself. But until we have come there, we need these teams, we need these divisions that care for it. And you really need strong people there. And as well, as you mentioned, sometimes external support, because you can't do everything out of yourself. And that is something where external support or partnering up with young, agile companies can help a lot, really. Yes.
So finally, just want to mention that when we talk about the subject, what's becoming clear and very clear is that actually it's about culture change. It's about really transforming a culture from A to B. And that is something that goes along with digitization. And I think many companies right now that have been focused on the tool implementation have not really grasped this part of the transformation journey, that by the end of the day we're looking into the future where we have a cybersphere, where we have new business models, and where we actually need a corporate culture, a company culture that allows for new partnership based on a totally different mindset, which I would call co-creation. So an open mind to establish new corporations and new collaborations with many partners, maybe.
Yeah, and this is exactly, that was my provocative claim at the beginning, I would say, saying lots of people have not understand the full dimensions of digitalization. But in the end, I think nobody of us has really understood what we're going to go through during the next time. And so we are still in an experimenting, in a trial and error phase of understanding what is possible and what is there in this new layer that is only existent for a few years now. So it's still a really weird experience for all of us, with a lot of opportunities, a lot of challenges, and a lot of things that will come that we can't see right now. Anybody who says he knows what's going to come, I think, is a liar. And all we can do is keep our eyes open, look forward, and try to make the best of all the opportunities that cross our way.
And now that you say that, I think another important aspect of and transformation office that we still have to mention is that there is the important role is that we manage the assets of the transformation budget in a wise way. So there may be some activities in, you know, reducing costs in the core business and implementing some digital tools to reduce costs. That may be one part of the equation. Another part of the equation is to make sure that you have a longer life cycle with your current products. Okay, so add some meat to the bone of a current existing business, and then taking those turnovers and those return of invests and put that into creating new businesses, which is like the new digital business models that you maybe gonna realize. So that is another important task of a transformation of his team, to manage this budgets wisely. All right. So Uwe, thanks a lot for this fantastic talk. It was really interesting and inspiring. And for anyone watching now, just reach out to us and get in contact to us. We will be more than happy to schedule a talk and a strategy conversation with you to start your transformation, digital transformation journey. So thanks a lot, Uwe, to Berlin, and have a nice day.
Thanks for having me, and see you soon. Bye.
Bye.
That was the Transformation Podcast on Agile, Lean, and Digital Transformation. I hope you liked it. Please reach out to us for some feedback. And if you need some support in your business environment, we are more than happy to support you with some high-value consulting. So please don't hesitate and reach out to us. We look forward to hearing. Thank you. Bye-bye.